Page Chaf Beis, Ostalit, bottom left here in the Bayam Darkecha. We're talking about Avas Yisrael, and he has here a very important Ha'ara this morning. That until now, we've been talking about how to nurture Avas Yisrael when we see people who are, they're offending us, they're bothering us. And obviously, on a higher level, maybe they wouldn't bother us, but Lamaisa, the Metzias is that they're bothering us for whatever reason, so we talk about different strategies of how to relate to such people. But what about when you have somebody who isn't bothering you because they irritate you in some personal way, and because they offend your religious sensibilities because they're not in consonance, their lifestyle is incongruent with what the Ratzon Hashem is in the world, but because they have a different approach to life than you do. And this is a common phenomenon that we encounter people from different walks of life, in different schools, both literally and figuratively. So how do we nurture and develop Avas Yisrael? So he says, V'chol, everything we've been talking about until now, about how to see the inside of another person, Omer af legabe poshi Yisrael, even as is in reference to what you call poshim, sinners, shekol zman sheshem Yisrael nikalein, as long as they're still Jews, we look at them in a good eye. V'kol shekein, and now here comes the kol shekein. Im hasheni, if the other person, eino miskavin lasos ra, turn the column, chaf gimel at the top. They're not intending to do bad. Ela sheyesh lo derech acheres ba'avodas Hashem yizbarach. And it's very difficult to do this, but to recognize what happens when you have someone else who has a different path in avodas Hashem. A person has to remember she'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, that these and these are divrei Elokim chayim, ulaharich, and to value, ulachabed, and to honor kol echad. Wow. This is a high level, and it's not easy, but it's emes. There are shivin panim l'Torah, seven perspectives on Torah. Not 71, but 70. And that means that if someone has a legitimate, you know, approach to Avodas Hashem that's different than yours, that's okay. Not only is it okay, it's valuable. We know there's a strange saying. We say it a lot in the end of davening. Talmidei Chachamim, the Gemara says, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. You're familiar with that phrase? Does that make any sense? Talmidei Chachamim are Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. You ever been to a Beis Medrash? Right? Mm-hmm. What does it mean, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam? So Rav Kook says, amazing. He says, you know what Shalom is? Shalom is not conformity. It's not a monolithic way. Shalom is actually a multiplicity of views. Shalom means shalem, whole, a whole perspective. So Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Olam is dafka because Talmidei Chachamim have such different and disparate perspectives that sach hakol, they're Marbim Shalom. It's the totality of multiple perspectives. It's interesting. You go to Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh, Shetibana V'Sikonin, there are gates. So we have a tradition, there are 13 gates to the holy city. 13 sha'arim. Why the 13 gates? Because there were 12 tribes, and one for the miscellaneous Jews. Converts, people don't know what tribe they are. What does it mean that there are 13 gates, that there are 12 paths to the Beis HaMikdash, into Yerushalayim? What does it mean? It means there are 12 drachim in Avodas Hashem. And that's okay that there are different ways of doing it. Not only that, there's a tradition, Achronim point out, that there used to actually be 13 Nuschos HaTfilah. They correlated to your Shevet. So if you were from Shevet Dan, you had one Nusach HaTfilah, because you had one path in Avodas Hashem. And if you were from Shevet Yisachar, you had a different path in Avodas Hashem. This is why, parenthetically, in the Shara Yichud, the Shara Kolom, there's a little kuntras that explains the Chabad Siddur. Shout out to the Nusach Ari guys. They Chabad, you know, they say that the Nusach Ari is the Shara HaKolom. It's the Nusach for all the Jews. And so if you don't know what shevet you are, they say you should daven Yisachari. So that's why Lubavitchers are encouraging everybody to daven Yisachari, because they think you're from the Shaar HaKolel. You don't know, I don't know if I'm from Shevet Levi, but you don't know if you're from Shevet Binyamin or you're from Shevet Zvulun. So everyone should daven Yisachari. But the point is that it's intentional. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants it that not everybody should be and look the same. Now this is hard. This is hard. And it became very difficult, especially, you don't want to get too nitty-gritty here, but during COVID, it became very difficult because the different approaches to dealing with that issue raised a lot of challenges to Avos Yisrael. When you had people who were insisting on opening shuls and closing shuls, and there was a lot, it was pretty heated, if you remember. But the ideal is that even within that argument, and that argument was so sharp because you're talking about pikuach nefesh, but to be able to somehow find the Avos Yisrael for that person, even if you think that that person is either, you know, destroying Yiddishkeit by keeping the shul closed or by endangering people's lives by opening it, can you still find a place in your heart to appreciate that person on a level of Avos Yisrael? They're trying to do the right thing. It's tricky there because you wonder at some point, when is it no longer Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim? Right? Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim has a limit. There are only shivim panim l'Torah. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim means these and these, there are nekudos of Tumah and Tahara on every suffik. There are nekudos of Asr and Mutter. So how do you connect to that? Where's your Shorash of Neshama? Like all these different approaches. But at some level, Rav Shechter points out, there are certain things that are not Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. So for example, the Gemara has sometimes, Rav Shechter quotes this, a very interesting idea. The Gemara sometimes says, Trei Amoroi or Trei Tanoi Aliba de so-and-so. Two rabbis reported different teachings from the same teacher. Not that he changed his mind, but there are two traditions. So Rav Shechter points out, he suggests that there's no Elu ve'elu on that. Because it's a historical question. Either Rabbi Yochanan said it's mutter, or he said it's aser. It's a question about what he said. When you have machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, aser or mutter, so elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. So it's a question. Is there a limit to elu ve'elu? But what we're really called upon on a deeper level is to say, do we have to be the arbiters of whether this is elu ve'elu from a perspective of Avos Yisrael? From a perspective of what to do practically, then we've got to figure it out. But can I view that person? Can I see them from an Avos Yisrael perspective? Va'afilu masheni, look at the second paragraph here on page Chav Gimel. Afilu masheni toa bedarko, the person is wrong. They're making a mistake. You know, in our community, you look at people like Neture Karta. You say, it's lunacy. You say, it's absolute lunacy.
They look at us and say,
exactly. So within that, when you see those people who you mamish, you can't find any shemets of Elu ve'elu with them, but can you still find Tzarech Lev Oso L'chabdo? Can you find a place in your heart for Avos Yisrael for their trying? Ki akol chafetzim alira es shemecha v'hu be'emes miskaven l'tov. And the truth is, this relates, you could argue, you could bring it back to the people, not the people who are the poshim, but the people who are what we call tinuk shenishba. You see a person, and this is unfortunately Nebuch, you see a chil Hashem that's going on in the world. I'm just speaking very openly. You see people come to the Kotel. They're not following halacha. It's against the halacha. But, and they're toim. They're definitely toim. They're mistaken. There's no such thing as a girl's bas mitzvah with Kriyas HaTorah at the age of 13 in a reform congregation at the court. Like, that's not halachic. It's not halachic. Okay. But is it better that they should be intermarried and lost to the Jewish people forever? Is that better? Is that better? That's Aleph. And Beis, to understand, of course they're wrong. They're Tohem Mederach HaEmes. They're Tinok Shenishba. They're wrong. So what does Avos Yisrael dictate? So, of course, we go back to the previous discussion about Sinas Hara and all that, the Chote, like all that discussion. But from this perspective, to remember that the people, they're trying. That Reform clergy person, that conservative Reconstructionist, humanist, whatever it is, they're trying. They're obviously misguided, but they're trying, no? Isn't that the... Right? They're trying. They're towing, but they're trying. So it's not Elu ve'elu. It's not Elu ve'elu, but still, yeah.
There's a difference between being mistaken and hurting somebody else and being mistaken and just being mistaken.
Now, of course, we understand that when you're mistaken and you are mezayif the Torah, you're hurting someone. You're hurting Yiddishkeit. You're hurting the Rebbe Shlomo's presence in the world. But even so, let's say I have a close relative.
But it could be argued that they're bringing Yiddishkeit, like you said, to people.
To who wouldn't have it. Exactly. Exactly. Totally. And even so, like Rav Schachter points out, is it better that they should go to a conservative shul on a Saturday or they should go to a golf course and do nothing? Better they should go conservative. But even if not, let's say there was no benefit whatsoever and they're just hurting a person. So let's say my brother, I mentioned my brother's making a bar mitzvah next Shabbos. We're very close. It didn't always exist that way when we were growing up, maybe. We were close in maybe a different way. So let's say today, not in those days, because those days, if my brother walked in the door and slammed it on my face, it was different to her. But today, let's say, God forbid, I walked in the door and my brother didn't see me and he closed the door and it closed on my hand. He hurt me. Mamish hurt me. But I would say, it was a mistake. I still have the Avos Yisrael for my brother. Right? So that's the inyan. The inyan is, of course it hurts to see people who are totally misguided and they're Messiah of the Torah. Of course it hurts, and of course, and of course. The question is, has that erased our feelings of Avos Yisrael? If we really had Avos Yisrael on a deep level, would be spitting at such people? Would be throwing things at them? Of course it hurts. And a person who's sensitive to their Rebbe Shlomo, it feels like their hand is jammed in the door. But does that take away, especially the people who are miskaven latov? They're trying. They're totally misguided. They're totally misguided. What do they know? They weren't raised in a Haimish environment with proper mori derech and teachers and moras and the whole thing. What do you want from them? Where's the Avos Yisrael? Of course, we're supposed to follow halacha. We're supposed to do the right thing. We have to have proper hashkafas. The Rebbe Shalom put this person in a circumstance. They were raised in a totally secular environment. They were raised in America in 2020. What do you want from them? What do you want from them? The Rebbe Shlomo, that's what the Rebbe Shlomo gave that person. So can you find it in your heart? And now you bring it back, of course, to the people who have different approaches. You know, the people have different approaches in Yadus. And put all the labels, all the destructive, horrible, ugly labels. This one is this label, that was that label. Where's the Avos Yisrael? One of the amazing things of Gedolim, people are really great people, is they have tremendous Avos Yisrael. One of the first amazing inspirational things that happened to me when I came to Chicago was that I met with Rav Avraham Chaim Levin, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Telz. So Rabbi Levin, he was the first rabbinic personality I met when I came to Chicago. And he welcomed me to his home on Drake Avenue. I don't know the name of that neighborhood. Albany Park or something Park, whatever. Down in Telz, you know. So I went down there to his house and he welcomed me. And I was mamish a kid. I was 27 years old. And he treated me with great kavod, like it was ridiculous. He was old enough to be my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And I met him many times, and we had many opportunities to get together. Once, during Elul, he hosted me in the Telz Yeshiva. And he sat me up in the Mizrach Vant in the front, and he had some little kid, Bacharol, to bring me a Sfarad sitter, like a mamish mechubad. He treated me like a chosh of a guest. So he said to me at the time, he said once when I was visiting with him in his office in the yeshiva, and people wouldn't understand this and they wouldn't believe it. He said to me about the YU community and the Telz community, he said, why can't we just be like brothers? Because that was the godless of Rabbi Levin Zichron Levracha that he valued, he understood. Eilu ve'eilu, divrei Elokim chayim.
Maybe you are like brothers.
We are, but the problem is that out there in the world.
Sometimes you slam the door in your brother's face.
Right, but when you do that, you don't spit on the person. You don't trash them on Facebook, right? You don't put out kolkoris against them. You say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry I slammed the door on your hand. You know, can I help you be more careful next time? Can we talk about this for the future? And Rabbi Levin's point was he was bemoaning the fact that many people, anashim ketanim, they can't see the value of somebody else's derech. They can't see it. Rabbi Levin, he was mamish, the personification of the Agudah community. He was such an Adam Gadol in that world. You know, if you cut him, his veins, they bled black. They were mamish. He was Agudah as Agudah can be. So he didn't subscribe to my Masorah, my Mahalach HaChaim. But he could understand that there is a place for that Mahalach HaChaim. And that even if he didn't subscribe to it, he could have Avas Yisrael. And then you could take this even further. But the idea that even if a person disagrees, that we could still have that Avas Yisrael. Because what's the counterpoint to this? You know what the counterpoint is? What the Bayam Darkecha points out in the footnote. Machlokas. You know where that goes. Chavetz Chaim cannot say enough in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, the Shmiras HaLashon, about the dangers of Machlokas. The dangers of Machlokas. You know why we're still sitting in Golus? Because of the Sinas Chinam, because of the Machlokas. So people are going to say, this is a Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim. You've heard this before. Everything, this is Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim. So the footnotes has a great Ha'ara. Great Ha'ara. Of course we're going to have Machlokas. Especially when you have Hashkafas that you say are outside of the Elu Ve'elu. They're outside of Halacha. So he says, a great Ha'ara. Look at the footnote in the bold. You know what Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim is? Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim HaKavonahi Sheyachloku, that people will argue Ba'ofen Shalogorem Sina, that it doesn't cause hatred. Ve'eno negea b'chvoda shalasheni k'mo b'shamayim b'Beis Hillel. B'Beis Hillel, do you know what they were doing according to Beis Shammai? They were marrying women that were in Isser Kares. It's the Gemara beginning of Yevamos. They darshan the psukim about Yibum.
Yeah.
Beis Shammai says, you can't marry that woman.
Right.
And Beis Hillel says, you can't marry that woman. They had mamish. It was a huge machlokas. And there's whole discussion, the Rishonim there. They were informing each other about their marriages because according to many Rishonim, the Beis Shammai folks would not marry families from the Beis Hillel side because they thought that it was Arayus. And they would tell each other, don't make a shidduch with this girl, don't make a shidduch with this guy. According to your shita, they're not allowed to get married. So they had huge machlokas. So Bayam Darkecha says, you know what means it was machlokas Hashem Shamayim? That they didn't become the Hatfields and the McCoys.
I thought they got over that and they actually did
it. Oh, machlokas and Rishonim. Yeah. 2 days in Rishonim in Yevamos Daf Yudalid. But many Rishonim say they did not. And they were modia each other. And they said, don't make a shidduch with this kid. So they had such a machlokas. So what's the L'Shem Shamayim? That they could still sit together on Shabbos. They could have a tish together. They could hug each other. They could make a l'chaim together. They could be friendly together. They could agree to disagree. And it was very sharp. Look at this. This is about the most serious you're going to get. And yet, we can agree to disagree. We agree to disagree. Now, of course, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai are within. But the idea that you can have Avas Yisrael, there's an amazing letter. We'll end with this. There's so much more to say about this topic. But the idea that there are different approaches within, and how do we make sure that we talk about and nurture and foster Avas Yisrael, even when you have different perspectives in the same community, and we can argue even when you have outside of Elu Ve'elu, because the people are trying. There was a rabbi in Boston in the 20th century for many decades. His name is Rabbi Joseph Shubau. Rabbi Shubau was a conservative rabbi, and he was a personal friend of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. They were close friends. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik tried to insist on certain standards of kashrus. So the butchers and the meat purveyors actually tried to get him arrested by the attorney general for interfering in their shady kashrus subterfuge. And Rabbi Shubau, the conservative rabbi, came to his defense. So after, I think it was 50 years, I forget the number, there's a beautiful letter in the collection of letters published by Ktab, by the Torah Sarab Foundation. I think it's a Community Commitment and Commitment. It's edited by Natty Halfgott. So Rabbi Shubau's synagogue, their conservative shul, was renovating, making a new shul. And they sent a letter inviting Rabbi Soloveitchik and Mrs. Soloveitchik to the dinner at think it was still, his wife was still living, to the dinner inaugurating the new shul. So the Rav writes back an amazing letter. He says, Mr. Fleischer, the president of the shul, he says, I'm so sorry. I feel bad that I delayed in replying to your letter. I feel very uncomfortable. Because on the one hand, I cherish my friendship with Rabbi Shubau. And in addition, I understand that this conservative synagogue is going to be a place of gathering for Jews. On the other hand, he says, you know, it's my opinion that a mechitza is an essential component of a synagogue. And if a person doesn't have a synagogue with a mechitza, they should daven at home. He doesn't write this in the letter, but you should know this was Rav Soloveitchik's opinion. And, you know, Avi Fox, his father, Professor the late Professor Marvin Fox, he was in Columbus at Ohio State. There was a period of time where the only shul in the neighborhood was a shul without a mechitza. He wrote a letter to Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Soloveitchik said, you are better to daven at home on Rosh Hashanah and not hear Tekiah Shofar than to go to a shul without a mechitza. That's how much the Rav was opposed to a non-mechitza shul. But what does he write? He said, you should just know the reason I'm upset about writing this letter to you is because I don't want it to be construed that I'm disrespecting my friend Rabbi Shubau. And please convey my best, warmest regards to him. And you should understand that the reason that I'm not coming is because it would seem that I am accepting and validating the idea of endorsing a non-mechitza shul. But that letter is mamish, that is exactly what we're talking about. First of all, it's beyond Elu ve'Elu. But even if it was within Elu ve'Elu, Rav Soloveitchik is saying, look, I can't endorse your practice. I can't accept your Mahalach HaChaim. But I can still love you. I can still have a friendship with you. I can still have a connection with you. I can say this without getting into a machlokas. That's the Mahalach. What's a machlokas l'shem shamayim? Machlokas l'shem shamayim is when you don't have sinas chinam. When you're not bitter about it. When you're not angry at the person. That is the goal. And he comes back to the same nekuda. Ki kol Yisrael heim nefesh achas mamish. We're all one nefesh. We're all one neshama at the end of the day. V'kol choshkem urak l'galas metzias v'or yisborach. Whether they're fill in the blanks, they're in the right or the left or the this or the that. V'kol echad ukli. Each one of us is a vessel l'galas or l'fi inyano. And we're trying. We're trying. Now, one of us might be right, one of us might be wrong. There might be a limit to the you know, Elu ve'Elu in this context, depending on what you're dealing with. But does it go in sinna? That's the goal. The goal is, can we foster Avas Yisrael, which is so great, it's such strong Avas Yisrael, that even when the person is totally opposing me in this inyan, in this aspect of Avodas Hashem, I can still have Ava for them. I can still love them. That's really the goal.